Okay.
All right. There's a valid reason. Okay, it's good excuse. Good excuse. All right. Yesterday's daf was daf ayin hey. Today's ayin vav. We're going to do a review of yesterday's daf. Get to today's. Have in mind that our learning should be schus. Follow Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. All the Jews in Israel. All the chayalim should be safe. Hashem should protect them. Also, have in mind the learning should be schus. Yeah.
Seventy-six years of the state of Israel. It's a bittersweet situation. Our brethren in Israel are suffering.
All of them. All over the stuff going on. You're ready.
All over the world.
All over the world.
Also have in mind Lili Nishmas, Yitzchak Heschel ben Avram Gedalia. Bas Ami, Bas Shalim and Zalman, Yirmiyahu, and Sar Bas Menachem, and also Rufus Shalima to Hadas Bas Ronya, Yitzchak Ben Yael Zahava, Miriam Bas Eid Hazisel, Chai Rachel Bas Devora, Pinchas Yaakov Ben Gittel, Tzvito Ben Chasha, Yisrael Yoshua ben Mina, and Chava Bastal Yinda, Moshe Yosef ben Elisha Vetova, and Shoshana Goldebracha Bas Yalrina, Besok Shar Chol Yisrael. Okay, with that, let's get started. So we're starting our daf, our review of yesterday's daf at the Tanur Rabbanan on the bottom on Ayin Dalet Amid Beis. So the rabbis learned that a person tells his friend, lend me a quart of wheat, and they set the price. If it goes down, so then he can pay him wheat. If it goes up, then he locked it in at the price. So the Gemara says, but if you locked it in, then it should be down or up. He always pays the money. So the Gemara says, no, you're absolutely right. If he did not set the price, and it goes down, then he can give him wheat. But if it goes up, he gives the price. But if he set the price, then he will, in fact, always give the money. Okay. So, we also saw yesterday in the Mishnah that a person shouldn't tell his friend, lend me a quart of wheat, and I'll give you later the same amount when it's the season, at the end of the season. But what you could do is say, lend it to me till my son comes or till I find the key, meaning if he has it in possession, he just needs it, because he doesn't have access to it. That's a different story. But even that, Hillel says, is prohibited. And Hillel says, even for a lady to lend a loaf of bread, I need an extra challah. I forgot to make for Shabbos. And she would make it back. You have to sort of price it in order to make it legal. Because what if the wheat prices go up and it turns out that it could come to ribbis? It's very machmir Hillel. So the first thing is, how much are you allowed to borrow when you have some in your possession? So according to Rav Huna, if you have a sa, then you can borrow a sa. If you have two sa, then you can borrow two sa. You can only borrow to the amount that you have. According to Rav Yitzchak, it doesn't work that way. If you have a sa that already allows you to borrow multiple times that, even many kor. Rav Chia sources the same as Rav Yitzchak, and that it says the reason why you can't borrow is because tipa siyayin eino, tipa shemen eino, which implies that if he had some of it, if he had any wine, then he would be able to borrow more than that. Hillel says it's aser. Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, the halach is like Hillel. But the Gemara, the stomach of the Gemara says, no, the halach is not like Hillel. We're not that machmir. Next thing, also Hillel said that that a woman can't lend for a loaf of bread, without pricing it, so that they lock it onto the dollar value. So Rav Yehuda said, "Neshmol, that's Hillel's shita." But the Chachamim are lenient; they say you can borrow and pay back without too much specificity, and we don't worry about it. Rav Yehuda said, "Neshmol, if you're in a group where the people are so makbid to measure what so tit for tat." Then not only, besides for the difficulty of being such a group, but there's issues of on Shabbos. Now, wait a second, I gave you, one scoop of rice, and now you're giving me this, it's not the same size, whatever. Like, you have to, they're busy measuring out to make sure that everybody gets the exact amount. You know, we only each having, you know, seven potato chips out of the bag, you know, whatever. It's all being measured exactly. That's measuring on Shabbos. That's not allowed. Also, not allowed to borrow and pay back on Yom Tov. And according to Behillel, you even over ribis potentially because the Hakpada creates that there's an interest issue. Rav Yehuda sent them Shmuel on the flip side, really, it's interesting contrast that the Talmid Chachamim can even borrow with, pay back with ribis. And the reason why is because they know it, that there's no interest and you're not allowed to charge interest, whatever. The guy is doing it as a gift, and it, and a gift is a gift. There's nothing to do with ribis. And that's what Shmuel told Abu Bar'iv. He says, lend me 100 peppers, I'm going to pay you back 120 peppers. And not, and it's all permissible. It's all allowed. Another one reviewed the name of Rav, that a person could lend money to his children, household members, with interest. And the way is that the idea is that it's educational because they get a sense of what it's like to have to pay with interest and how they're not actually knocking down the principal. And that's the, and makes them realize the danger of such behavior. But ideally, the Gemara says that even that is not appropriate because, you know, they may learn the wrong lesson. It's like, oh, I see it's better to borrow with interest, but it's good to lend with interest. They're looking for the other side. You understand?
And when you get older, you have to borrow from them.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the, what?
Hakpada.
Hakpada. Particular. Be makpid. Makpid, right. That's the same thing. Okay. Says the Mishnah that a man can tell his friend, you do this activity, help me plow my field, and I'll help you plow your field. You help me weed, I'll help you weed. I'll dig, you dig. But if we're exchanging activities, meaning you're doing one activity and I'm going to do a different activity for you later, so then that's already prohibited because whichever activity it is, because maybe I'm doing more later because of... Because you're doing this to me first, so it's like because we're waiting and I'm not repaying you till much later.
Isn't the same thing, Rabbi, if you do the same thing? I mean, let's say I'll clean my wild grass over there and you do the same thing. But I walk twice as fast as you do, you know, I'm slower than you do, then the same thing, not this, equal again.
I know,
you
know? Right, so it's interesting. It doesn't need to be perfect as long as it's close enough. It's good enough for us. And that's what we're saying. Like, we don't measure. Rashi points out, you don't measure this, right? It has to do with not Akbada. How, wait a second, that was in the springtime. This is in the summertime. The day's longer. We're working longer hours, right, so yeah. It's not the same thing. We don't make that cheshbon. We just say, basically, it's the same activity, and that's the way it works. Listen.
Okay, anyhow. So
we don't get too locked up in the details.
You can do the
but
same.
When it's significant, difference, that's where it is. Now, we also divide the work activity between seasons. If it's the dry season, the work is a very different job than when it's wet. And that's already does that. You can plow with me in the dry season, and I'll plow with you in the wet season. That's paying back with interest, and that's also not allowed. Rabbi Gamliel says that this concept of ribis mukdemes and ribis mucheres, early interest and later interest. What does that mean? You sometimes want to borrow money from somebody, so what you do is you give money in advance, and you say, here's $100, so that you'll be amenable to lend me $1,000, because I need to borrow $1,000. So that's ribis mukdemes. And then there's sometimes the reverse case, that he borrowed the money, he paid it back, and he says, here's an extra $100, because, look, I had the money of yours for a couple of months, and you weren't able to make the money that you would normally with that money, so therefore I'm giving you the $100 for the lost time. That's also interest. That's ribis mucheres.
But if he doesn't mention the word interest?
Doesn't matter if he says the word interest, but if he's saying it's because of the money.
Because?
He's attaching it to the money.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for loaning me the money. And
if it's time a gift, right, it's not a thank you. He didn't say thank you. He's saying because the money was sitting by me,
yeah,
I want to
that's right. I mean, that's no question about doing. It. But thank you very much for loaning me money. To what extent is that coming?
It's a gift. Well, that's kind of like the Talmid Chachamim thing. It depends if they understand that it's not. Yeah. It depends on what the understanding is. If you mean that because Why are you saying thank you?
Because you're a nice guy.
Well, that's not clear.
That's right.
That's where, exactly, okay, you're right. It's a question. It's where it gets iffy. Also, we saw that Reb Shimon mentioned this in the Mishnah. There's this concept of Ribbis Dvarim, which is interest of words, that even to provide news, that you know the person likes to hear the news. He's like, did you hear who's back in town? Yehuda's back in town. Yeah, and the guy's all excited. So he wouldn't normally give him that news, and he's doing it because he lent the money. That's already problematic. Okay, there's things that who's over the loisa say? The malve, the lender, the borrower, the guarantor, the witnesses, and the chum say, even the scribe is all over over a lav. Now, what are
the scribe be? How can the scribe be? It does the job. I mean, that's the only thing. Or the secretary, how would they come in the picture?
That's what it is. Even the lawyers are writing up the documents.
Yes, well, again, the lawyer...
They're writing up the documents. The cipher is, I mean, is like defend, the lawyer. He writes up the documents.
The cipher is the one that has to understand what he's writing. He understands what he's writing.
He's writing up the documents.
Yeah, but again, he's in, it was written correctly. That's all.
He's involved. He's involved. Okay. So what are the lavim involved?
You're saying you can't defend somebody, you know he stole something, and you cannot defend him.
No, I'm not talking about the lawyer.
Because I'm partner with him, babe, it's package, you know?
Right, one second, well, let's back up. When I said lawyer, I meant the guy who writes up the contract. And that's what a sofer is. He's the guy who writes up the contract. I'm not talking about a defending, that's a different thing completely. We're talking about, that's after the fact. That's nothing to do. Here we're talking about the contract writing, which is what the sofer actually does. Sofer wasn't just the guy who just wrote words. He was the one who knew the proper form to write.
So he's in effect a lawyer, some kind of lawyer.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said that. But he's involved in the transaction. Without him, there's no transaction. Okay, anyway, bottom line is, what are the lavim? Loisitein, al tikach mito, loisia lekenoshe, loisisimun olav neshech, and lifneiver loisitein mechshol. They're all transgressing all of those. Well, not all. So, first things first. Shimrei Choy says, how do you know that if a person borrows money and he doesn't usually initiate a greeting to that person, and now he does, you're not allowed to be makdim l'shalom, because that's neshech called dover shishach. Dover is like a dibor, even words. Okay. Now we said that they are over these things. These people are over. So it depends on who's getting what. So the lender gets all of these transgressions. Okay. The borrower is over the lo sashich l'achicha. Three. Okay? And the Arev and the Edim are only Simon Olav Neshech, which is people, anyone involved.
Yeah, okay.
That's that. Now
Avak.
Right. No, that's not Avak. That's a love in the Torah.
It's a full love.
It's a full love. It's a different love, but it's a right. Anyone involved in the Neshech.
I mean, I saw it happening, and I'm testifying to what I saw it happening.
That's it. It's a Simon Olav Neshech. Okay, then we saw that Rav Shimon said a few Musar Divrei Torah here. The lenders with interest, more than they make, they lose. Okay, it's a rule that when you lend with interest, you're going to be losing. Your money starts going down through whatever, and that's just the way it is. But not only that, people who lend with interest are making Moshe as if he's not a chacham, and is the Torah's chas v'shalom not true. Okay, and they're saying, had he known that you can make money with this, he never would have said not to do it. This is a good opportunity here. That's not how it works. Okay, he knows full well, and it doesn't work that way. You're getting enticed by that, so he said that the blindness that the enticement of interest making is. Like Rav Dimi would say, that how do you know that somebody lends money with his friend to his friend, and he knows that another thing, this is a new thing, somebody lends money and he knows the guy doesn't have the money to pay, you're not even allowed to pass in front of him to make him feel uncomfortable, and that's what he said, that's Lysia Lekinoisha. And it's like you're giving him double judgment, says Rav Amir Vasi, because he's banu ba'esh of Amayim, you're embarrassing him. He doesn't have the money now anyway, so what's the point? Also, Rav Yehuda said in Rav Rav, if you have money and you lend it without witnesses, that's over lifni iver l'sita mechshel, because you're creating a stumbling block. You're enticing the person to want to deny the loan. Reish Lakish says you're causing a curse on yourself, as the pasuk says telam nesivtei shaker, hadavar zal tzadik asok. So the Rabbanan said to Rav Ashi, the Ravina is very makbid on all the rabbinic laws. So Rav Ashi was doing a little test. He came Erev Shabbos, and right before Shabbos, he said, can you send me quickly 10 zuz? I got an opportunity to buy land, and it's like I got to catch it right now. So he says, sure, bring two witnesses, and we'll write it up right now. He says, even me? Why? You don't trust me? And he's like, of course you, especially you. You're so orangutan, is the expression in Yiddish. So, and orangutan is like, sounds almost the same. It's like you're so absorbed in your Torah learning that you could forget everything else. And that's, so you cause a curse on yourself. It would be a curse on myself to lend you the money. I'm bringing it on myself if I lend you money without witnesses. Okay, we said there's three people that cry out, and Hashem doesn't answer. Nobody answers. Why? Because it's nobody else to blame but yourself. Somebody who has money and he lends it without witnesses. What do you want? Who are you blaming? Yourself. So why should you crying that? Oh, you denied it. I thought I could trust him. Okay, why didn't you write it up with the proper witnesses? It's on you. Somebody who buys himself a master, and somebody whose wife rules over him. You took that on. That's all on you. You don't have nobody else to blame but yourself. Okay? What does it mean, kind of other last one? We saw two possibilities. Either it means somebody who basically he didn't want to have to give charity or whatever it was. He was trying to protect himself by claiming that, I would love to do that, but my non-Jewish partner doesn't let. And the non-Jewish person who wasn't really a partner got wind of what he's saying, and he says, oh, I guess I am a partner. And then he takes it, so then he lost it. Okay. Also, others say that it's when you write over your assets to your children while you're still alive, and then, lo and behold, they don't take care of you, and when you want to spend money, it's like, oh, why do you want it? I'm sorry, Dad, but, you know, that's the frivolous spending over there. And he's like, whoa. So anyway, bottom line is, those are people crying, and like it's like, well, that's a shame, but you put it on yourself, okay? Also, there's a third possibility. If a person is having a bad situation in one town, and he doesn't take himself up and move to another place to give himself a new Mishana Makam, Mishana Maso, that's on him, and that's the story. We'll stop over here.